invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 1 to 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he said he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you redeem it, do it. But if you will not, tell me, so I know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am the next in line." "I will redeem it," he says. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sarah. I'm part of the team here at Seeds. Everyone seems to have been really into the Book of Ruth. I know there's been a lot of buzz and excitement around, lots of talk, and it feels like this is the conclusion of a Netflix series with great anticipation and excitement around the final episode. You never know what effect your life might have on someone else or even the world. People like Alexander Graham Bell, Albert Einstein, Mother Teresa, the Wright brothers, the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Walt Disney, they didn't set out to change the world. They simply pursued something that interested them. Of course, these are obvious examples of people who have had a big effect on our world, but everyday people like us can impact the world as well. Ruth and Boaz are a perfect example of what I mean. In today's message, I've got the privilege of finishing the story of Ruth, and I'll look at how Boaz remains a man of honor in the way he works towards marrying Ruth, and how the book of Ruth shows the love of God, and what the book teaches us about faith, obedience, and character. We've heard from Rod and Marianne in the last 3 weeks how the story of Ruth is a series of closed doors and setbacks. If you've missed any of the last 3 weeks, here's a bit of a recap. In chapter 1, Naomi and her two sons were forced to leave their homeland in Judah on account of famine. Then Naomi's husband dies, and her sons marry Moabite women, one of whom was Ruth. And for 10 years, the woman proved to be barren. And then her sons die, leaving 3 widows in the house of Naomi. And even though Ruth cleaves to Naomi, chapter 1 ends with Naomi's bitter complaint. "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." In chapter 2, Naomi is filled with a new hope because Boaz, a near kinsman of her deceased husband, appears on the scene. Boaz shows Ruth kindness and blesses her as she gleans in his field. So the chapter closes brimming with excited hope, but also with great suspense and uncertainty about how it all might work out. In chapter 3, Naomi and Ruth plan a risky move in the middle of the night. Ruth goes to Boaz on the threshing floor and says, in effect, "I want you to spread your wing over me as my husband." But right when the tragedy of Ruth's widowhood seems to be resolved into a beautiful love story, we come to another closed door. There's another man who, according to Hebrew custom, has prior claim to gain the land and marry Ruth. So the impeccably honest Boaz will not proceed without giving this man his lawful opportunity. So chapter 3 ends again in the suspense of another setback. And Marianne left us last week in the waiting. Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. And we all know waiting is hard. Preparing for this message this week and spending so much time in this Old Testament book over the last while, it's been a reminder for me that through difficult circumstances, God is leading his people. In every hospital trip, injury, discouragement, setback, graveside tear, and in every victory, God is moving us to our final destination for our ultimate good and his ultimate glory. John 16:33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The book of Ruth can get us ready to experience trouble in a godly way. In this book, we can learn to take heart. We learn that obedience to the Lord is more important than doing what we think is right. So, chapter 4, who will be the kinsman redeemer? Ruth and Naomi are really not in the story anymore. Chapter 4 focuses on Boaz and his response the next day. The narrator explains the setting to us. Boaz goes to the city gates, and this was where all the business was taken care of, where people came and went, and all the transactions and rulings happened. And Boaz wastes no time, and as we heard in the reading from Jonathan, he says to him, come over here, my friend, when the closer redeemer comes by. Sit down. Now, interestingly, we don't know this closer redeemer's name. And I think that's quite significant, and I'll come back to that. So Boaz then asks 10 others, elders, to be witnesses. This is a big deal. Boaz explains the deal, all about the land, and the closer redeemer, well, he seems keen, but Boaz leaves one thing out, Ruth. And the unnamed redeemer states, I will redeem it, thinking he was getting the land. But then in verse 5, Boaz says to him, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Basically, in order for him to redeem the land, he must marry Ruth. The unnamed redeemer was willing to redeem the land, but not the widows, Naomi and Ruth. You see, it was a big sacrifice to redeem. This is actually why it didn't happen very much and why we see so many orphans and widows in the Bible. It was costly. So the redeemer declines and says to Boaz, buy it yourself. And then Boaz takes off his sandal to seal the deal. Although that seems odd, that was how they arranged and finalized contracts in those times. Then Boaz announced to the elders in verse 9, today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Kilian, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. How ironic that the first kinsman redeemer, the closer redeemer, was more concerned about protecting his own name and his own inheritance, but that we don't even know his name. Boaz, on the other hand, didn't care about that. He chose to love and accept and help Ruth and Naomi, who didn't have the power to help themselves. And it's his name, Boaz, that we still know today because of his obedience and the good he did. Now, looking back at verse 9, as a woman in today's society here in Australia, I look at the language and I'm not quite sure I like the idea of acquiring or buying a wife, but I actually don't think it's trying to portray Ruth here as property, but that the language represents the cost that Boaz has to pay to redeem her as his wife. It is a cost. He has to pay. He has to take care of the property and the land, and he's willing. And this is where I start to get the feeling that although not written as a love story with romance and kisses and all the sloppy stuff, but that they really do love each other, they have found in each other something of the other, something of each other's worthiness and honorable nature. Verse 11, then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. The community and the elders here are recognizing that this is a really big moment for Boaz and Ruth. And they are recognizing that God is behind it. This is pretty amazing, really, because remember, Ruth is not Jewish. She's a Moabite. So for the elders to recognize the honor in the marriage is significant. So what does it mean for us today? Well, here's my first point. God notices people of good character. God's presence in the book of Ruth is felt in the chance meeting of Boaz and Ruth. Did she really just happen by accident to go to work in his fields? Did he just happen to see her working and discover that she was related to Naomi's family? Did the events leading to this marriage all just work out by chance? It seems clear to me that God was taken by the character of this devoted, faithful young widow who was willing to put others' needs before her own. And the unseen hand of God was at work to bring all this together. This story fully supports the biblical truth written by the prophet Isaiah that God looks to those people who are poor and of contrite spirit and tremble at his words. In the midst of all that was happening in the world 3,300 years ago, the attention of our great God was caught by a quiet young widow working in the fields. And we may at times think that God is only watching the really important people of this world. But the story of Ruth tells us otherwise. God is not impressed with our wealth, fame, or power. He is most impressed with the quality of our character. And as God told Samuel when he was searching for the one to anoint as king, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. My second point. All that is good and worthwhile will come to us if we are patient and commit ourselves to doing what is right in the eyes of God. Ruth was a widow, a foreigner in the land of Judea, who had to work hard at menial labor to support herself and her aged mother-in-law. Her choice to do the right thing, helping and supporting Naomi, instead of just pleasing herself, brought God's blessings to her. In today's world of instant gratification, it's good to be reminded of this timeless lesson about the way to find real happiness. The Apostle Paul supported this view when he wrote that God will render each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. Paul also wrote, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The fullness of God's blessings may not come in this life, but the ultimate glory he has in store for us is beyond what we can humanly imagine. right now in the homes of seemingly unimportant people who are living and dying with little public awareness, God may be engaged in shaping the future history of the world. God looks deep inside all people. He's not taken by the size of their bank accounts, popularity, authority, church standing, or intellect, but by the quality of their character, just like he was with Ruth. This is a powerful lesson that we can learn from this remarkable woman. God's plans for our lives is often not the same as our own. I imagine Ruth had thoughts of how her life would turn out before she was widowed, and it was nothing like how things worked out for her. Like most of us here today, the route that God has mapped out is very different to our own. I can certainly relate to that. 2 years ago, I was happily teaching with no desire for a career change, but God had other plans for me. He opened a door for me, and it was one that I didn't even know was there. I just had to make the choice whether to please myself and keep my career on track and keep getting school holidays, or to do what God wanted. And here I am. So what do we need to do? Well, first, we can find out what sort of needs there are amongst our friends and family, our congregation, our neighbors. Perhaps there's someone who needs some time and attention, a willing ear to listen to stories or problems. Perhaps someone needs a friend to comfort him or her through a difficult time. I encourage you to look around you. The Hebrew word hesed, we've heard this term a few times over the last few weeks. Favor, grace, and loving kindness or covenant loyalty, while it may seem an odd expression, it refers to the action done out of a loving heart. If we are acting in love towards others, we seek their best interests and not merely our own. Ruth shows that even when it appears as if we have nothing going for us, our own loving service may be repaid in ways we cannot predict. Perhaps we can give our time and service to help those around us. And Rod said a couple of weeks ago, there are lots of ways that you can serve here at Seeds. Maybe you've got the expertise to help someone solve a problem without expecting or demanding anything in return. In turn, God may end up repaying us in ways we can't foresee. Even though Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz could not see the end results of their acts of hesed towards each other, they acted out of love anyway. So should we. Now back to the story and my third and final point. God has the last say. After Boaz purchased the land and acquired Ruth's hand in marriage, they became pregnant with a son. And the son was named Obed, who later became the father of Jesse, who later became the father of David, who is in the direct family line of Jesus Christ. How awesome to see how the braveness and commitment of a young woman who would later meet a man that would help to bring the family lines of Jesus Christ into fruition. God also brought joy back to Naomi as she lovingly helped to take care of Obed. How amazing is our God that he can take such a dark and lonely season for Naomi and Ruth and turn it into joy, love, and prosperity. Never underestimate the power of your decisions, commitment, humility, and integrity. God often takes things away in order to fill us with more of himself. And when we go through the trials, the hard times, when we come up against closed doors, we need to cling to God. When he empties you, allow him to fill you with more of himself. Chapter 4 ends with a genealogy, which shows us that Obed became the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, King David. Interestingly, in the Gospel of Matthew, the start of the New Testament, It begins with a genealogy. But Matthew does something very unusual. He lists women as part of the story. And one of the women he lists in the lineage of Jesus is Ruth, wife of Boaz. Ruth is part of the Jesus story. So be encouraged today. If we are redeemed, then he has this to say to us. The way Boaz speaks to Ruth, our Boaz, our great redeemer, says this to us. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God has redeemed us and walks with us every day. He walks with us through the good and the bad, through the fire and through the waters, and even in the times when we don't feel his presence. He's formed us, called us by name, brought us back at such a cost, and he will not let us go. He will show us his steadfast love and faithfulness because we are his. With Christ, devastation and disappointment is not the end of the story. The chaos of this world does not have the final say. Our circumstances do not have the final say. Our pain does not have the final say. God has the final say, and he promises restoration. Let me pray. Lord, help us to trust that you are good, that you are kind, and that you have us. Give us the faith of Ruth to boldly do what we have to do in this world, not knowing what the outcome will be, but trusting that you're going to be there, that you're going to be our Redeemer. Let us live out of that reality. In Jesus' name, amen.